The incident at Sandy Hook Elementary School and the NRA's press conference this morning has us thinking about school design and security. Schools have to keep students safe, but they're also charged with creating an open environment that allows kids to learn. So can schools be designed to do both? Joining us with one perspective is Kevin Flanagan. He designs schools in Washington State for NAC Architecture, which is based here in Seattle. Kevin Flanagan, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me here. I'm glad to be here.
So can schools actually protect kids from the kind of violence that we've been seeing?
Well, I always like to think as far as there's it's school design is not a panacea, obviously, but schools can be designed to encourage safety. And with that, we look to law enforcement agencies to assist us. And they've given us insights that having better visibility is good. And so making schools where there's a lot of eyes watching what's going on is a good strategy, not just for these horrific events as what happened at Sandy Hook, but for a lot of the problems that happen at schools, whether it be vandalism, bullying, theft, even abduction. Having a lot of visibility and control is important.
I think when people think about schools and school security, they might imagine sort of military bunker-esque design. Is that what you have in mind when you're thinking about how you design schools for better safety?
Well, personally, I don't think my image of being in a military bunker is my ideal of being safe and not the sort of place where I'd want to put my children. I think as far as it's also not conducive to a good educational environment. Education today has really become much more collaborative, where students are working a lot of project-based activities and moving around. And so with that, the ability for the teacher to track different activities that the students are doing is important.
And how do you accomplish that architecturally?
Well, by first making a lot of open floor space so that different types of activities can happen, and there's a lot of flexibility. Also by letting activities extend beyond the classroom, arranging classrooms into learning neighborhoods that have a shared area so that students can go beyond the classroom to work on projects individually or in teams. And with that, arranging it such that there's a good transparency, where looking from the classroom into the shared space. And so there's a lot of eyeballs on the kids, so there's a much better network of support.
We're talking to architect Kevin Flanagan. He designs schools in Washington State, and we're talking about the tension between creating schools that are open and schools that are also secure. When did the idea of openness become a part of both, you know, school reforms in terms of education, but also in terms of architecture?
Well, I think that in general, school design has really reflected as far as what schools' needs are, and that responds to what's going on in society. And with the Industrial Revolution a century ago, schools became much more like factories themselves. We call it cells and bells. The kids are put into these classroom cells responding to the bells. And with that, the teacher becomes the sage on the stage. They're imparting their knowledge onto the students through a lecture format. Well, as society has changed, we're now in the information age. The teacher is not the repository for information. They become more the guide on the side, helping the student make sense out of the information that's there for them. And so learning itself can become much more customized, because we want to see all of our kids succeed, and recognizing that kids learn in different ways. So it becomes individualized. This means there's a lot of different activities happening in the classroom today, which is different from the factory age that we have. The workplace is a much more collaborative environment, and that's reflected in the schools, where schools become more collaborative.
So was this kind of a 60s, 70s thing where school architecture started to change to reflect those new ideas about what education was all about?
I think in the 70s there were a lot of experiments down that road, but the 70s are probably famous for various bad experiments, whether it be bell bottoms, plaid suits, or open classrooms with no windows. And so from that, we've learned to go beyond that. And I think especially as the computers became more prevalent, and No Child Left Behind, not just as an act, but just as a mindset that we want to take care of all of our kids. That, I think, led to much more individualized attention and learning, and much more hands-on project-based learning.
But in terms of architecture?
In the terms of architecture, I probably have seen it much more just within the last decade or so, that where it's become more prevalent. Through the 90s, there was some level of schools starting to open up, creating shared spaces. But it was really in this past decade, I think, that schools have really embraced this idea of learning beyond the classroom walls.
So I've got just under a minute left. If you could just summarize kind of where we are today in terms of designing schools to be both open and secure.
Well, I think as far as in summary, we're looking for schools to be visible and transparent and creating the supportive network for schools. There's a lot of specialists coming and going out of the schools, and so there's a welcomeness that happens from the outside, but we also want students to be safe. So with that openness, we need to have a protective barrier and good supervision at the arrival point, good control, but a welcoming and open environment inside.
Great. Kevin Flanagan, thanks so much for telling us about it. He's principal architect at NAC Architecture in Seattle. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.